Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Matter of Life and Death, was written by Joseph Mindell. In the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah are the words, Thou saidst in thy heart, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Above the stars of God will I exalt my throne, and I will sit upon the mount of meeting, and I will be like the Most High. I have a story to tell. A story about a doctor named Enoch. You may think of it as a legend, if you like, but then you must remember that a legend is no less true than another story. And besides, it happened not so long ago. Now, if I say that Enoch was a good doctor, you will understand that there are many such. But in his relation to his calling, there was a special quality.
This is what I believe. There is no disease that cannot, sooner or later, be cured.
Enoch, are you talking as a doctor or as a philosopher?
I am not a philosopher, Dr. Abrams.
Well, that's too bad. I think a doctor should be a bit of a philosopher. It gives him a kind of perspective.
No, no. There are too many sick people waiting.
Well, between you and me, Enoch, most of them will get better without our help.
Maybe, but some will not. What about them?
Well, Enoch,
Excuse me, doctor. Here are the results of the test you asked for.
Thank you, nurse. Dr. Abrams,
they're all here, I think. Basal metabolism, blood cholesterol, sedimentation rate, throat x-ray.
Good. Just put them down.
Will you see him now? He's waiting outside.
Who?
Why, the patient on whom the tests were made.
Oh, well, tell him to go home. I've already seen him.
But that was last week, before the test.
You're new here in the hospital, aren't you, nurse?
Yes, but... Very well, doctor.
No, nurse. Nurse, I didn't mean to be short with you.
It was my fault, doctor. I should have waited for your instructions. Is there anything else?
No. No, thank you.
Oh, the girl meant well, Enoch.
She had no right to interfere. Dr. Abrams, there's so little time.
But they've taken only a few minutes to see the patient.
What for? In the name of heaven, what for? I've examined him. I have all the test results. There's nothing more he can tell me.
Maybe not, but you might relieve his anxiety.
Well, that's not my job.
A man wants to help in any way he can.
I'm not... We're not like other men.
Oh, aren't we?
We are doctors. There isn't time enough for anything else. What good will it do to relieve the patient's anxiety if I don't cure his body?
Enoch, with all your tests, what makes you so sure that you can cure his body?
Well, Dr. Abrams, you've had more experience than I, and I've had my share of failures.
Failures? That's a strange word. As if you had to prove something.
But it doesn't matter what word you use. I have no illusions. But there is one thing I believe, I must believe.
I think I know.
There is no illness, no human infirmity that cannot be cured if only someone will devote every cell of his brain, every breath in his body to effecting that cure.
Enoch, maybe you are a philosopher after all.
Every man must choose the meaning by which he will live and work. To say that Enoch made his choice is perhaps not the whole truth. For his way grew out of his being. But there was a promise in him that shone from his eyes. A promise that others could see.
Oh, come in, Enoch. Come in, sit down. You doubtless know that the Medical Institute is looking for a new director of research.
Yes, Dr. Edwards.
And I've been asked to recommend someone for the job. My recommendation will carry considerable weight.
You're not sure, are you?
What do you mean?
You're not sure that you should recommend me.
Well, should I?
Are the research facilities good?
Of course. Fine laboratories, a clinic, research assistants. The salary's not very much.
That doesn't matter.
You'd have to give up your practice and your work here at the hospital.
I understand. Dr. Abrams, I would be very pleased if you recommend me. Well, Doctor?
Enoch, if you wanted the job because you were ambitious, I could understand. Or if what drives you were, well, call it unquenchable curiosity. Why are you a doctor, Enoch?
Isn't it enough that I am a doctor? A good doctor? Does there have to be a reason?
No. It's for myself. I want to understand.
How do I know? Maybe it's because sickness and death are a challenge. Does that explain anything?
I'm not sure. However, if you want the job...
I want it, Dr.
Then
Edwards.
I recommend you. Only, Enoch, if you're looking for a challenge, you'll find it anywhere, right here in the hospital.
I don't look for
There's
it.
There's a man in B ward. He's been lying for a week, motionless. One would say he was in a coma, except that his eyes are open and he's conscious.
Paralysis?
Almost complete. We've examined him, made all the tests we can think of, but there he lies, unable to move.
You said Ward B.
Now wait, Enoch, I didn't mean for you to see him.
I know, but I want to look at him. As you said, Dr. Abrams, he's a challenge. Is this the case of paralysis, nurse?
I'm not the... Yes, doctor?
Where is his chart?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, there it is, on the table.
You might stop straightening the bed while I'm talking to you. Dr. Milton is handling this case, isn't he? Where is he now?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Well, you're not very helpful. Why aren't you in uniform?
Maybe it's because I'm not the nurse.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, doctor.
I came to look at the paralysis case. Who are you?
Me? I'm the wife of the paralysis case.
Her name was Ruth. She came every morning to the hospital bed where her husband, Jonah, lay still and like the dead with open eyes. But in his eyes, life burned strongly, and with them he spoke, having no other voice.
I've closed the window. Is that better, Jonah? Oh, now, don't look at me like that, Jonah.
I won't leave. This is where I want to be. Besides, I have a tradition to follow, don't you remember? Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. You see, Jonah? Now, don't ask me again.
It's getting dark. Why don't you turn on the light?
Do I have to go now, nurse?
Not yet. You've been standing all day.
If I sit down, I can't see Jonah's eyes. Nurse, that doctor who was here yesterday, he's a very good doctor, isn't he?
You know him?
No. No, but I've seen so many doctors, and he was different.
They say he's the best doctor on the staff.
I watched him examine Jonah. His hands were so swift and knowing. I want him to take care of my husband.
He can't. He's leaving the hospital.
I'll talk to him.
It's no use.
Still, I'll talk to him. Maybe he'll stay. Don't go to the Medical Institute, Doctor.
You say it so simply. Do you realize what you're asking?
Sickness simplifies many things.
There are other doctors.
Yes. They observe Jonah and make the test. Try not to frighten me. They're very kind and very helpless.
Maybe there isn't much that anyone can do.
Even you?
I don't know.
I stand at his bed and talk. Watch his eyes, because if they close, what's left? Maybe you can't help him either, but will you try?
I'm sorry, it's out of the question. My work at the Institute won't leave enough time.
Don't go to the Institute.
Stop it. Be reasonable. I have other responsibilities. There are other sick people.
I can't. I can't be reasonable or objective or considerate. My husband is sick. I want you to take care of him.
Your husband is dying. You want me to bring him back to life.
Oh. Jonah is alive, Doctor. I'm asking you to try and help him live. I'm not asking for a miracle.
The Medical Institute wants you now, Enoch, or not at all.
But all I want is 1 month, Dr. Abrams, even just 3 weeks.
I'm sorry, but it's not my decision.
That's too bad.
You haven't asked my advice, Enoch.
You don't have to tell me.
The man's hardly alive. We've tried everything we can, and we don't even know what's wrong with him.
Yes, yes, I know.
What will you prove with another failure?
I've been through all this myself, Dr. Abrams.
And you won't change your mind?
No.
Then you're a fool. And he's a lucky man.
Who?
Your patient, of course.
Oh. Do you know what I was thinking, Dr. Abrams? Maybe it won't be a failure. Maybe I can make the dead alive.
Now, Ruth was not alone at Jonah's bedside. For hours each day, Enoch was there, probing, searching, asking silent questions. And Ruth held Jonah's hand and watched and listened.
The hypodermic, please, nurse. Nurse, I want the test results as soon as they're ready.
Yes, doctor. Maybe I can get them to your downtown office.
Oh, I'll bring them down.
There's no need for that.
But I want to. There's so little I can do.
The reports can be sent here. I'm living at the hospital for the time being.
Thank you.
Please, don't. That isn't necessary.
You're doing more than a doctor can be expected to do.
You don't understand. I'm not doing anything for Jonah or you. I'd do the same if it were another man with a different obscure illness.
You make it very impersonal.
And that's the way I want it. I'm a doctor. I don't want gratitude for doing my job.
Maybe not, doctor. But Jonah and I, we need to feel grateful.
All that a man has, will he give for his life? Jonah lay still, only his eyes alive. And sometimes when they dropped in weariness, Ruth raised her voice and spoke more quickly, as if to nourish him with words. Other times she sat quietly and looked at Enoch. One day she brought a visitor.
Please, Ruth.
I tried to persuade him not to come, doctor.
Please, Ruth. I know the doctor is busy.
It's not that, Samuel.
The others are waiting outside, and I won't take much time.
You don't belong here. You're not part of his job.
What is it you want?
Just to give you this from Jonah's friends, doctor. It isn't much.
I never asked for money.
I know, but we'd like you to have it.
The doctor doesn't want gratitude, Samuel.
Hush, Ruth. Please take it, doctor. Jonah is our friend, and we want to help, too. Well, I know you understand.
Oh, no, Samuel, he doesn't. Do you, doctor? They're doing this for Jonah, and I can accept the gift and say thank you. But he doesn't understand that, Samuel.
You mustn't talk like that, Ruth.
Why not? It's true.
No. No, he's a good man.
He's a good doctor. That seems to leave no room for anything else.
Oh, you're tired and upset.
We even talked before him as if he weren't here. He's not here. There's only a microscope and a brain.
You need a sedative.
How do you know what I need, doctor? You've never even called me by name.
We've managed to communicate.
Yes. I'm the wife of the paralysis case. And Jonah's a number that you'll mark in your notebook.
And suppose it's true. It's still Jonah that I'm treating.
Not enough.
Ruth, what do you want?
You don't have to ask. I want Jonah to be well again.
If I can cure him, does it matter how I do it? Or why?
I don't know anymore, Enid. Maybe you're right. I want Jonah to walk again. I want to hear him call my name.
And it came to pass that as they watched, Jonah's lips moved, and he spoke, and his first word was,
Ruth.
And then, slowly, he turned his head on the pillow and looked at Enoch and said,
Thank you, Doctor.
And Enoch smiled.
You're smiling, Enoch. Your patient will get well.
If everything goes as I expect, Dr. Abrams.
And you're proud, aren't you?
Shouldn't I be? I brought life to inanimate matter.
Enoch, are you sure that you deserve the credit?
What do you mean?
Maybe he just recovered.
I don't want to argue, Dr. Abrams. You can say that about almost any case.
Yes, and that's how I like to feel about almost any case.
It's not what I want. It's not enough.
It's a good deal. It takes knowledge and skill and imagination to encourage a sick person to get well.
If you don't believe that you can cure, then what is the use of being a doctor?
I've delivered many babies, Enoch, but that doesn't make me believe that I ever gave birth to one.
I don't have to tell you. You saw him lying like the dead.
Yes, I saw him.
Maybe you don't want to admit that you could not do what I did.
I'm not sure you know what you did.
You're wrong, Dr. Abrams. I know. And I want you to know.
You don't have to tell me, Enoch. I am beginning to understand what makes you the kind of doctor that you are.
This is what I did. I brought Jonah back to life.
In records of the hospital, you may find Enoch's diagnosis and an account of his treatment. But that is not what we're talking about. The important thing is that one day, Jonah was able to leave the hospital. On that day, Enoch walked with him and Ruth to the outer door. They stood on the doorstep and looked at the bustle of life and smelled the exhaust of automobiles, and it was good. And then, because there would be no other time, Jonah knew that he had to say what he had not yet said.
Doctor, there's no way. Well, Doctor, I don't know the words for what I want to say.
Let me, Jonah. Enoch, maybe you'll tell me again that we don't have to say anything.
I never wanted anything from you, Ruth.
I know. But you did what few men would do.
No. What no other man could do.
Then how can we not be grateful, Jonah and I?
It has nothing to do with your gratitude. I had my reasons.
All right, Enoch. Let it be as you want it. Come, Jonah.
No, wait, Ruth. I can speak again, and therefore I must say it, too.
It's no use, Jonah. You heard.
Still, there's something I have to say.
It isn't necessary. Enoch did what he had to do. Tell him, Enoch. Tell him it isn't necessary.
Let him speak, Ruth.
But why? You didn't want gratitude from me. Why do you insist on it from Jonah?
How can you know what I want?
What else have we to give? I think I know. You want confirmation. Jonah, please, let's go.
Not yet, Ruth. You don't understand, but he does. Doctor.
Don't say it, Jonah.
Doctor, I was dead, and you gave me life.
No, Jonah, no!
And Jonah stepped into the street and turned again to wave to Enoch, not seeing the truck that came too quickly to a stop.
I'm leaving, Dr. Abrams.
A rest will do you good, Enoch. You'll feel better when you come back.
I'm not coming back.
That's foolish. You won't find another hospital as good as this.
I'm through with hospitals.
You won't be happy in private practice. You'll miss the excitement of research.
Don't you understand what I'm saying? I'm finished with being a doctor.
You're upset, as we all are, when we lose a patient.
I didn't lose a patient.
What are you trying to say, Enoch?
I've lost the reason for being a doctor. There's nothing to talk about, Ruth. It is all ended.
For me, I know what is ended. But you, Enoch, what about you?
I don't want to talk anymore, I tell you.
Then listen. They say you've decided not to be a doctor any longer.
It's not your business, Ruth.
It is, because Jonah was my husband, and you were his doctor. It could have been a wonderful thing that you did, Enoch.
Who are you to judge my work?
Jonah's wife. Don't you remember? Who has a better right?
That's enough, Ruth. You're overwrought.
You'll prescribe a sedative later. Now I must make you understand what you did. You didn't bring life. You took something from Jonah.
That's not true.
You made Jonah lifeless clay that you manipulated with your fingers and your brain.
What more was he when I first saw him?
A man, Enoch. Alive and capable of love and fear and courage and gratitude. All the things that are living in a man. You took them away.
No, I gave him speech and the power to move.
You made of him a figure on a bed without thought or feeling or life. So that you could work your miracle.
Well, it's too late, Ruth. It's finished. What do you want of me?
It's almost finished, Enoch. I had to take back what you took from my husband.
I have already said it. I'm sorry about Jonah's death.
You're not sorry. Not for me or even for yourself. You're angry because you feel that you've been cheated.
Oh, stop it. Stop torturing yourself and me.
I've made my peace. Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? Enoch, have you made your peace?
What are you trying to make me say? I was a doctor. But there's no use in being a doctor if my work can be so easily destroyed.
Don't you understand, even now? You don't dispense good and evil. You're only a doctor. Enoch, no matter what you are or become, how can you still be anything but a man?
The words are in the 14th chapter of Isaiah.
Above the stars of God will I exalt my throne, and I will be like the Most High.
It is a claim and a challenge, and the answer is in the book of Job. Then the Lord spoke out of the whirlwind and said, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth and the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Declare, if thou hast understanding.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Joel Geffen, Director of Field Activities and Community Services of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Rabbi Geffen.
The happy and healthy man, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, is he who understands that life demands of us consideration of our fellow man as well as dedication to our special vocations. He who makes his occupation the end and all of existence, and because of his success in his profession or business, considers himself the master of the universe, must eventually find himself living in a world that is very impersonal and unreal. He loses touch with our human limitations and eventually learns, as did Dr. Enoch, that it is not in man's grasp to determine life or death. He is destined to experience disillusionment, and even as happened to Dr. Enoch, he eventually loses interest in continuing his profession. On the other hand, he who feels for his fellow man and seeks to call forth the inner reserves of hope and faith and strength from him will not only do justice to his practical pursuit in life, but will also succeed in a greater measure in experiencing reality. He will enjoy the satisfaction of achievement in the midst of gratitude and of humbleness. Such a philosophy of life was Dr. Abrams, the soft, human, and successful physician who discovered a constant challenge wherever he found himself. He possessed not only a formalized philosophy of life, but moral strength, which is our most vital need. In this age of creative science and enlightenment, it is too easy to be drawn into the orbit of the Dr. Enochs, who set themselves up like the Most High. But he who wishes to find security in this era of anxiety will emulate the wisdom of Dr. Abrams and learn to combine idealism with his daily labors. Then, in the words of our ancient sages, he will truly share with God in the process of our evolving creative existence.
Thank you, Rabbi Geffen. Eternal Light Drama today, A Matter of Life and Death, was written by Joseph Mindell. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast were John Larkin as Enoch, Anne Burr as Ruth, and Edgar Staley as Dr. Abrams. Norman Rose was the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King, Mel Brandt speaking. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.